Welcome to Influential She, the podcast about accelerating the influence of women in the world.
You will find us to be a fresh voice in an old conversation.
And here we are, your amazing co-hosts, Deb Soholt
and Mel Schopp.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Influential She. This is our conversation about accelerating the influence of women in the world. I'm your co-host, Deb Soholt.
And I'm Mel Schopp. And today we're going to be talking about the high leverage practice of voice. This practice, and Deb, we've talked about this before, that when people think about using their voice, sometimes what they think they have to do is talk the loudest or they have to be kind of outrageous to be noticed. But I think we've learned that that's not always true. The phrase I love is that we need to raise our words and not our voices.
Absolutely, Mel. And I think this is one of those things when there's a crowd of people, if you will, and influential women have something important to say. This high leverage practice is really about honing how to use voice, how to come forward and have it be heard, when to place your voice at the right time. And in many times in our careers, we could see where we didn't necessarily leverage this practice in the ways that we would have wanted to.
And I think the other thing that voice can do is it really, when we have important things to say, others want to listen to you. And that's what our guest today is going to do, I think, for all of us. This is really unique today. Julia is from West County, New York. But the thing that's unique about Julia is Julia is 10 years old. So welcome, Julie, to our podcast.
Hello.
Hi, Julia. We're so excited to have you here today. So let me just kind of preface this, and then Julie, I'm going to have you jump in right away. The way that I got to know you is through a conversation that you and I had about something that you have dealt with, and I don't want to say you struggle with it because you've really been a powerful voice for the issue that you are dealing with, allergies, living with food allergies. So can you tell us a little bit about what that food allergy is first? I think that will be interesting.
It's not just something, it is something you're allergic to and can't eat, but it's also something that it's not just something you can't eat. It's also, it can affect your life a lot if it's a severe allergy. And yeah, so my allergy before if I go to a store and I want to buy, I don't know, something, I have to look at the label. If it has eggs, I can't eat it. If it doesn't have eggs, I can't eat it. But even if it says it doesn't, it's possible for me to have an allergic reaction because sometimes there's cross-contamination or a lot of other things that could make me allergic.
So, Julia, what are your allergies? It's egg and anything else?
Egg and mustard and, well, this isn't a food allergy, but I'm allergic to cats. And then I also have something called OAS, oral allergy syndrome, where I got it from my dad. He has it. It's where whenever, especially in like summer and spring and sometimes fall, not winter, but if you eat certain foods when they grow in the ground or just are plants, then you can, especially if it's like, if, I don't know, it's just like there's just a storm or a tree was just cut down or something like that, or just rained, then if you eat it, then you might have an allergic reaction to it. Not a severe one, just like an itchy mouth or like, I don't know. Yeah, you might. It's not always that bad.
So, Julia, you have really had to find your voice at a young age. And I think for our listeners, that's why we were excited to have Julia come on our show, 10 years old, but our company is called Influential She. So while mostly we're talking with grown women within our podcast, we thought it was really exciting to bring Julia on board because she has had to establish for herself a level of influence to protect her health. So Julia, talk just a little bit about how did you start to articulate this or share this with other people about your allergy? Because you have to have a lot of courage to share your truth at a very young age.
Yeah, well, that is definitely true. Sometimes it's hard for me to tell people I'm allergic to something because a lot of times when I tell people, oh, I'm allergic to eggs, they're like, what eggs? I never heard of that. That's like, I didn't know that was, you could be allergic to eggs. I never knew that was a real allergy. And well, it is hard for me to tell people I'm allergic. Sometimes I just think that, yeah, they might. It's no one's really likely going to think it's like weird or anything. So I just tell myself, okay, I'll tell them and then I'll just be honest and I'm sure they will understand.
Have you felt sometimes that people are not seriously listening to what you have to say?
Yes. Sometimes I've had teachers and other people, yeah, I won't say names, but I've had people who have not been acting like it's a serious thing when really it is because it's dangerous and they cannot be kind of understanding about it. So that can be frustrating.
No, Julia, I've not had a severe allergy. So, and I think a lot of people have not. Can you tell us what that's like and what it feels like when you have a reaction to eggs? What is that like?
Well, it's usually scary it's never really that fun. And the most symptoms I get is an itchy mouth. Like when I know I had something that has eggs in it, like it's usually if it's a bad one, I get itchy on the inside of my mouth, like the roof of my mouth. But when it's on the outside, it usually doesn't mean I ate something that has eggs. And it's just really uncomfortable. It's kind of like you got like a bug bite on you and you just can't stop itching it.
Now, Julia, do you end up having some emergency preparations in order to help yourself if you would end up in an allergic reaction?
Yes, I once had anaphylaxis and I had to use something called an AuvQ, and you could also use an EpiPen. And it's where it has a needle and you just put it in your upper thigh. And then after that, you feel a lot better. And then, but the rule is after you use an EpiPen or AuvQ, you have to go to the emergency room. Like not anything serious, but you just have to go to the hospital for a couple hours.
So talk a little bit about anaphylaxis. Like how does that feel different and how would you know when to use that emergency procedure? Because it's obviously probably beyond just having an itchy roof of mouth.
Well, how I knew it was different, a symptom I've never had except for when I had anaphylaxis was an upset stomach. And so what happened was I was eating ice cream and then I had had that ice cream before, but they changed the recipe and they didn't say anything about that. And how they changed the recipe was they put other ingredients, I think. I don't know if only egg, but I'm sure they put other ingredients too. So they added like other ingredients and changed the recipe. And we didn't know that because I had had it before, but without the egg. And so then when I had it, I had a lot of it because it was good ice cream and it had egg in it. And then I said, I don't feel good. I had never had a feeling like that before. I felt like I was, instead of swallowing ice cream, I felt like I was swallowing sand in my throat and it was rolling down my throat. And my stomach hurt. I don't remember if I was itchy. I probably was. Yeah, I think I was. But one thing that usually I don't get through much of food if it has egg in it. But before I had been at that same dinner, I had eaten something. I think it was like a vegetable, which of course I think it was OAS. And so I asked my mom if I could take some medicine. So she gave me some medicine. But then it was for dessert, when I had that ice cream, the medicine protected me from that ice cream too and lasted like halfway through my ice cream. And that made me still okay until like I was like almost done. And then I realized I don't feel good. And then, yeah. So it's pretty different from other reactions.
Pretty frightening, I would assume.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was scary.
Yeah, I bet it was really, really scary. So, Julia, you know, there's a lot of situations you've been talking about, you know, where I'm sure in your family, your home situation is well protected. I know that your mom and dad read every label and you've learned to do the same thing. But how difficult is it when you're in a social situation? So you're invited to birthday parties, you get to go, you know, your family's invited out. What do you have to do in preparation for that? Or, you know, to start with, let's start there. What do you have to do?
Well, of course, before I go to any party, my mom will, well, usually it's a birthday party. My mom will talk to the parent and say, if usually, most of my friends' moms and dads know about my allergy, but some don't. And so she will tell them, like, oh, my daughter's allergic to eggs and like all that. And sometimes they're nice and they make something, make a food that I can have. But sometimes they don't. Doesn't mean they're not being nice, but they don't make anything that I can have. And then we just have to bring something that I bring my own dessert or whatever food.
What about school lunch? I'm curious about that. How do you feel sitting around with a bunch of kids who don't have those same issues? Has that been difficult for you at all?
At my school, elementary school, I've always brought lunch. I've never even once bought the school food. My mom said she just doesn't want to risk it, and I don't want to risk it either. And even my little sister, she won't eat the school lunch because she feels bad about eating eggs. My little sister never eats anything. She refuses to eat anything with eggs.
Oh, that's fascinating. What a sweet girl.
Yeah, she's really sweet about it.
You, at a very young age now, have had to figure out how to share something that's not easy to share. What has it been like for you to develop your voice to do that? Because you have to for your health. But this is something that not all other young girls have to do. So what does that feel like for you to have to stand up to adults and others that might not be willing to listen?
Well, for me, it's scary. I don't really like to have to tell people that I'm allergic to something, and because sometimes they think of it as something else and can not overreact, but kind of react in a way that isn't exactly how you should do it. They're being good, but they think it's more like they think I'm like will be like really sick if I eat something, but if I eat a little bit of one food that I'm allergic to, I won't get that sick. It's like rare that people have anaphylaxis or anything like that.
How have you developed this strength, Julia, to be able to do what you have to do?
I remember when I was younger, it was a lot harder for me. And since I was little, my mom would usually say, like, oh, my daughter has an allergy. But now I have learned I do have to tell people. And I think if I just say it and try to stay calm and say, I have an allergy, but it's okay. I know how to deal with it. And yeah, and I don't want to try to panic about talking to someone.
Last year, I know that you went to a food allergy camp that you thought mm-hmm. was really a turning point for you. What did they teach you there? Why was that such an important event for you? Because I think you really helped you to find your voice.
A lot of the stuff I learned was stuff I already knew, because when you have a food allergy, you learn a lot of stuff. And, well, I learned that there are other people like me who have food allergies, and I learned that a lot of other kids were allergic to eggs like me and knew how I felt, and I made some good friends there.
That's got to really help as you go forward, too, that you have some camaraderie mm-hmm. with that as well. So in those situations, though, I think as you're thinking forward, what would you like to do, though, with this? I mean, is it something that I know you feel really strongly about educating other people? What do you see mm-hmm. can be your influence going forward in using your voice and when you talk about allergies? What would you like to do?
Well, I want to teach people that it's not just something that someone can't have. It's not just something that they just don't eat. It's actually a lot more. It can affect your life. It can affect a lot of things besides eating.
What do you want to tell grownups, Julia, in particular, mm-hmm. about all of this? And what can we do to help people like you, young people like you, older people like you? Because I really hear what you're saying about people not taking it seriously. Like, mm-hmm. oh, just get over it. You know, it can't be that bad. Or, you know, how can we help in this whole conversation?
Well, I think for adults, it would be good if only most people are really good about it, but some adults, it would be better if maybe they could understand a little more what it's like and just yeah, be more kind about it. Not like kind, but yeah, just more caring.
Julie, have you ever felt in a situation with friends that has it ever been difficult? Or do you ever feel like, you know, socially is one thing, but emotionally, have you ever felt a little bit different? Or have you been able to really develop a strong sense of Julia that doesn't mind sometimes when, if people think about, oh no, and maybe they don't, maybe because you have such a strong voice. Has that ever been a situation for you?
Well, sometimes it has. I feel like it can be hard to make friends if I just feel like there's no one really like me at school because not a lot of people are allergic to things. So,
Julia, has, now that we've been in a little bit of quarantine and, you know, isolating ourselves from others, has it been easier for you to manage? And if it has been, then what has it been like to try to go back out again where you're needing to pay attention more to your allergies? What's it been like to be during the virus?
Well, it's actually a lot better because I'm only eating at home and my mom never cooks with eggs. She never does. And it's actually a lot better because usually I have to bring my own food to somewhere. But since everyone wants to be careful about coronavirus, it is a lot better because everyone is bringing their own food. Everyone is not, because not a lot of people want to have to eat what other people touch.
So I think that's so interesting because this virus has made it kind of the same for everybody. So for understanding, like, finally people might be able to get it, that I couldn't just go and eat everything because I didn't know what was in it. Now all people are starting to think that way. Do you think that that'll help to increase the conversation about being sensitive to what other people need?
I think it will. I think that people will someday understand more about food allergies and it's not, and yeah, about not being able to eat things that you're allergic to.
Tell us down the road. So you're 10 years old. What do you have for dreams and aspirations for what you want to do with your life going forward? Do you have any? Have you ever thought about that at your age? You're only 10 years old, but have you thought about it?
This I think about when I'm older. I know what I want to do as a job. I want to be an astronomer. I want to study outer space and also a lot of other things too.
Well, that's great. I mean, if you've already had that in mind, I know that that's been something you've been interested in for a long, long time. Julie, is there anything else that you would think that you'd want to, if you could have today, you're going to have a big voice out there. Lots of people are going to be listening to you. What do you want people to know about dealing with food allergies? Is there any final, you know, big thing that you think is important for both kids and adults to know about being an individual that has allergies?
Well, I want people to know that a lot of things are hard for everyone, but a food allergy can be really hard for some people. So I want everyone to realize, that must be really hard to have something you can't eat, or you have to check the label before you eat anything that's in a store. And so I want people to understand that how hard it is.
You know, Julia, it's just so great to hear you talk about this and have found your voice at just such a young age. And I think that that is something that we are really wanting for girls that are maturing into women, that are early in their careers, early in establishing their lives, that you're just proof that you can find your voice at a very young age. You've had a situation where you've had to do it. Your health situation has just compelled you to do it. But you don't always have to wait to have that kind of issue in your life in order to find voice. So we were just really excited to have you as our podcast guest so that you can show others. I think sometimes we discount the youth and say, well, they have to grow up. They have to have a couple of jobs. They have to start to sort themselves out to be influential. And our conversation with you is just really about disproving that we need to be helping our young girls to find their voices early so that their influence can exponentially grow when they're in positions where they can really start to leverage that influence.
Thanks so much, Julia. We're so thankful that you were here today. You've been amazing. We really appreciate you taking the time. Good luck in school this year and stay strong. So
thank you.
I think this has shown us that no matter what age we are, that we have an opportunity to really use our voice effectively to not only educate other people, but to advocate for ourselves.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed our podcast, we'd be so jazzed if you rate us on whatever app you use to find us. And hey, be sure to tell all your friends about Influential She.
And please visit us at InfluentialShe.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. And you know what? If you come up with a new one, please let us know. In the meantime, remember, stay influential.